This week's episode of Heavy Meta is exclusively brought to you by Face to Face Toronto. No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, the four people that still listen to this cast after Portland? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta for some reason. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. So this is the, what is it? What do we call this? The recovery week? This is the recovery week episode. We're not gonna harp on Harpland. Oh wow, I'm still hungover from Portland. We're not gonna harp too much on it, but we'll tell you guys a bit about it. But off the top of the show, before I get too far into it, last week I made a grave error, caused many people hurt and harm. I had mistakenly announced that Awesome Sauce and Kelly were the owners of Face Face Toronto. And actually, it is Kelly and Saul from Face Face. So, huge apologies to Saul. There you go, my friend. The giant magic Buddha, as we call him. The friendly Buddha, unless you piss him off, then he's the angry Buddha.
That guy still scares the shit out of me.
Oh, no, he's scary as shit. Actually, he came up to me, and I didn't know if he was my friend or he was just going to, like, take me in the back alley and shiv me. And then he was like, don't you make me look angry on the show. I'm like, I don't know what to do, Sal. Do I make you?
No, of course you do. Anybody that's ever seen you is going to assume you're angry.
I'm like, you're awesome. You're so nice, but I'm really scared of you. So I don't know how I come out of that in a fair way, but Sal's awesome. I actually spent the whole flight home with him, and we bonded a bit, I think. I stole some cookies for him off the cart, so I'm pretty sure we're cool.
Oh, then you guys are straight.
Oh, yeah. Like, he gave me the eye. It was awesome, eh? Like, the stewardess turns around, and he gives me the eye, and I know that eye, you know? I'm like, okay. I'm going for cookies. He's like, two cookies. I'm like, sweet. You want pretzels? Yeah. So, like, we hooked up. Like, I'm pretty sure I showed him, like, I'm willing to get down and dirty for him, so...
like a heavy meta mob boss, dude.
He's like, let's see. It was a test. How many cookies are you gonna steal off the car for me? I'm like, I'll take a fucking pack of cookies for you, no problem. So there was that. But he's quite an amazing guy. If you can, guys, Face Face Toronto is very close to opening. I got an inside peek into the store as it was being built, and it looks fucking amazing. It should be up on. So you're gonna hear this Friday. So I think the grand opening is gonna be Monday. So check that out. It should be pretty badass. But moving on, there was apparently some big event. I don't know if anyone.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, that's right. The big SVU event in Portland went down. And you know what's funny with all these events, you know, like Boston and Montreal and that, and they all try to compare each other. Hey, like, we had a better event than you. We're going to blow you out of the water. And I got to say, you know what? I don't want to blow anyone out of the water on this.
I don't want to talk about Portland.
I don't want to talk about it either. Like, I have to say, this is the first event I'm ashamed. I'm almost like it went too far. I think we learned a lot. Hey, that's my opinion. Everyone can have different opinions, but I feel that we learned a lot. Like, there was a lot of life lessons learned that weekend. Two houses is a must. Three houses are probably preferable.
There are different tiers of the SVU member, and not like, you know, economic status tiers or anything like that. There should be like three different houses for like the three different mm-hmm. noise levels or the three different, levels.
Yeah. Noise levels is very good.
Willing to get dumb.
Yeah. It was funny on, to totally ignore the guest on the show tonight and not even talk about him. TSG is here, by the way, cause he was in Portland.
Thank you guys for introducing me. That was very nice of you. Sal gets an invite. He's nowhere near.
Oh,
I am also in the room somewhere.
Listen. We're trying to, like, it's hard to set the stage, and it's one of those things. I guess you had to have been there. But Kevy is.
Huh?
Well, oh. No, I was gonna say like, Thursday night was great. Like I found Thursday night because it was the starter night. Where Kevy met a
Kevy laughs because he wasn't there. I like
exactly. Thursday was awesome. It was one of the best nights. And then Friday, things started to like ramp up into insanity
very quickly. I think we kind of went from like 2 to 11 without anyone even noticing.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I found out there was a second house, and I went to the second house. And by the time I got to the second house, I was like, "Is Kevy Metal here?" And they're like, "Yep." And it was so loud. That before, like, I don't know, like 2 hours later, it's not even 4, it was like, what, 6 p.m.? And they're like, yeah, you know, we've had 3 complaints, the neighbors have said something. And like, I love it, at like 9 o'clock at night, the doorbell rings, and I'm stupid enough to go answer the door. And she's like, is the owner of the house home? And I'm like, no. She's like, oh, that figures, and walks away, and I'm like, yeah, that's a cop call coming any second, boys. Oh my God, we were a little loud.
To be fair, the one time the cops showed up over the weekend, Marcel fucking stopped them in their tracks. We won.
Yeah, the one.
I wouldn't say we won, but I mean we won that battle.
Yeah. I'll say this. Hey, you know what? I think the one thing that to take away from my positive is I had the best game of Magic. The highest experience of Magic I've ever had in my life. And that was like playing TSG's Cube with like amazing, amazing people. Like Draconian, Desperate Ravings, freaking KYT, Paul Cheon. That's an inside joke for those that don't get it. Travis, a bunch of people. We had an amazing time.
Don't forget about Corbin, man.
Corbin. So Corbin, I guess we'll recount a few quick things. Here's rule number one. If you invite Corbin to your party, you have to remember one thing. Corbin only cares about one type of food, and that is buffalo wings.
B-dubs!
Especially BW wings.
There should be a caveat to this story that in no way does any part of the SVU endorse the consumption of buffalo wings. Any of its subsidiaries.
Absolutely.
This is not an endorsement of their product.
I am sorry that came across as an endorsement. It was actually a warning. Maybe I should have had the beep, beep, beep. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I think I was impaired. My judgment was impaired because somehow he convinced us all. And that was like 8 people. Look, BW, you should sponsor Corbin because how he convinced 8 solid people that were like dead set against not ordering this food to all ordering it.
Now it has to be recounted correctly. If we get any of these details wrong, he will come back at us and invalidate our entire argument.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, he warned us against ordering late in the night. And although we placed our order at 11:30 p.m., apparently that was a dangerous time, to use his words, to using the grease that they cook their food in during the day.
Okay. Now, I was unaware of this conversation.
Oh, see, the thing is that the entire day that I was with Corbin, which started way back at like 11 a.m. when we met at the airport at the rental car, he somehow found a way to never shut up about B-dubs, despite the fact that we went to an amazing – Luke took us to an amazing breakfast place downtown in Portland.
Mothers.
We had all this amazing food set up from Marcel. He had done all this work to get all this stuff together before we even cooked it. We had dinner reservations at the Tapas place Thursday night. Somehow, this entire time, Corbin would not shut up about B-dubs.
I think it was
when he would get it. How he would get it, how often a week, how it was a ritual. So late at night when we're drafting and we've had the munchies and we've been doing what we wanted to finally get to Portland to do, he corralled us into ordering it, and it was one of the worst experiences of my entire life.
I think it was subliminal messaging, like, through the day, because even at – we went to lunch, whatever it was, at this incredible restaurant in Mother's, and they served like, it was amazing, and it was, like, super cheap, and he was complaining – the whole time about what he was eating, this great burger, that it would be better with BW wings on it. I was like, wow. But anyways, needless to say, poor Jackie, evil KYT, he suffered the brunt of BW wings come the morning, and it was not pretty. So I'm just saying, don't – that's rule number like 5 or 6, I think it is, on the SVU HQ list. Do not order BW wings. But we're going to move on from that because that was a nightmare. The fun part, though, is I got to play pinball at, what was it, Barcade with TSG for about an hour? Oh, my God.
We made it over to Ground Control Thursday afternoon.
Ground Control. That's
and the reason we remember this is we made it there during the daytime hours where they don't serve booze.
Yeah, so that was kind of disappointing.
Instead, I got to have an X and O record lifetime against Maddie.
Oh, in, shut the fuck!
Street
I
Fighter,
swear.
But also every single pinball machine you can name.
I think I held my own on Star Trek: The Next Generation.
One of them was close. That was
one
was
of them.
Right. The most opportunities to get close there. But yeah, we checked out Ground Control. I would say it's an institution of Portland, and I'm only disappointed we didn't get to go there and actually drink. But it was great to see their daytime menu. They got a lot of stuff that's family friendly. That's awesome. Highly recommend checking that place out if you ever find yourself in Portland.
And then we acted like the biggest
Canadians on the planet by wandering over to a tap room and yelling at each other about hockey for 3 hours.
Yeah, that was fun. I think a lot of people thought we were fighting, I think, in the bar there. They thought we were yelling at each other, but we were just very passionately discussing that. But that was good.
Yeah,
I do
got to interject here. This is kind of funny. I'm assuming you guys, probably had, a decent amount to drink throughout the weekend, at the times when you were supposed to be drinking, in the evening when we were barbecuing and partying. I'm sure you guys may have even got a little bit tipsy. And literally through my eyes, both of you were stone cold sober through the entire weekend.
And that is, that's perspective.
Exactly.
Because we were having good times. You guys are talking about
we're upset because we didn't make it there when the bar was open. And I'm like, you guys were drinking? Shit. Maybe I was drinking too much.
I will say this. Before we get into the tail end of the weekend, which is the disastrous part.
Next 4 days.
Yeah. I mean, I have to shout out Luke Narinen, picked us up at the airport. Busted his
great
ass.
Great dude, by the way. Great dude.
I can't say enough. He not only did he bust it, we all prop Martin, in Montreal, Martin Burnett, because he just was shadowing us. Imagine Martin Burnett with a car, and he's married, and it's his anniversary weekend, and he ignored his wife to come hang out with us. So you can't say enough what Luke did. He was incredible. I almost feel bad. I was like, you should
he was like our concierge for fucking.
He was.
Portland.
He was. So if anyone owes him anything, you should really help him out because
definitely Luke is in the top three people that worked for this weekend, and he is probably the number one legit worker because that guy got zero of the enjoyment and somehow managed to show up at all the times that jobs needed to be accomplished. It was always we need to get somewhere. We're having difficulty navigating to something. He didn't get to see a lot of the fun times because he was busy with his family in town the weekend. So definitely, poor Luke, next time. Hopefully you could travel somewhere and just hang out.
Yeah, it was sad that the last time he was like, I'm coming to Cube. And we're like, well, it's midnight. We're going to be cubing for another 3 hours. Come on. I don't know what happened. But Luke, next time we will we'll hook you up, bro. Now, I have to say that once we got the houses, Portland's a beautiful city, by the way. If you ever want to head out there, it's actually really beautiful. I got a chance to walk around one morning. It was beautiful, gorgeous city. And I have to shout out, I know there's a lot of shout outs, but Marcel and his brother Jacob, who were my team partners for Team Sealed, those guys don't stop. They can be partying and working.
Oh,
the entire fucking weekend. Yeah. Like literally, if they're not
troopers, man.
If they're not partying, they're cooking. And I tried to help out as much as I could.
Just casually kicking ass, playing some magic in the middle. And then right back to partying or cooking.
Yeah, you're like, where'd Marcel go? It's round two. He's cooking a steak. Okay.
I don't think it's even a shout out. I think it's credit where credit is due. I think if there were any two guys that looked like they were employed the entire weekend, it was Marcel and his brother Jacob. It was getting to the point where it was uncomfortable for me to watch them do all this cooking where I was like, I can't take it, you guys. I've got to buy you dinner. Stop doing this stuff. And thankfully, when you see chefs, that's what they enjoy doing. So Marcel was always happy to do it. My only regret is we couldn't cajole him into making a couple more nice breakfasts that would have helped those hangovers in consecutive days. That Friday morning breakfast he put on, I'm the only one here that got to enjoy that. Captain Hotel and Mr. Wasn't There Yet. was quite the spread that you would definitely all be envious of if you had the opportunity to be so. So, you know, Marcel really, really put a lot together on this trip. He cannot get enough credit. I mean, he's in top three right there. And then you've got to talk about our Mr. Desperate Ravings.
Oh, yeah.
And that, talk about a guy that really
our man on the inside, yeah.
Yes.
That guy was dad. He was, like, watching out, making sure shit wasn't blowing up, literally blowing up.
You could call it dad or Captain Paranoid. I mean,
Captain
he was
Paranoid.
Definitely concerned about his deposit.
No, sure, I don't know. Yeah, there's that. But, I mean, just even when he wasn't around, like, his house and he was just trying to keep I literally think I remember at one point during the weekend I couldn't tell you what day or what time of the day it was, but I remember somebody, and I'm pretty sure it was him, being like, dude, Kevy, seriously, don't be an idiot, fucking hydrate, and like toss me a bottle of water, and that's probably the only water
no. So the entire joke was and I guess okay, so here's our top three disappointments. So Tyler Durden, for those that don't know, Tyler Durden was present at GP Vegas. I think it was me and TSG spent, I think, the entire evening playing like babysitter, like taking beers out of Tyler's hands, putting water in his hands, and being like, "No, you cannot have another beer until you finish this water." And he'd be like, "Nah," and we're like, "Tough shit." And then he wanted to fight people. Like he fought people all weekend, which I don't know what that guy was thinking, but that's, you don't do that.
I think the most endearing memory was the evening where it was probably night three, where we like, dude, we've got to get you hydrated, and he would be so gone. And this is like, it's not even dusk yet. Like the sun has obviously passed the crest. Like it's afternoon, but it's not night. It's not time that's like, you know, socially accepted drinking. And he is so gone that he wanders into the fridge and he wanders out with a beer, but he can't get the cap off. So he's looking for assistance. And that's when you are to step in and be like, all right, I'm going to replace that. You're going to get a water. And that water's done. When that water's done, we'll talk about this again.
We'll consider.
And then the water would disappear, and then he would disappear. And then like 2 minutes later, it'd be the exact same thing over again. He'd found his way into the fridge, found a new beer, couldn't get the cap off and was looking for assistance. And I must have personally gone through four rounds of let's replace that with a water and then we'll talk.
I mean, the worst thing is I was trying to make super fries that night. So I've got like two things of grease going. It's hot. And I have people stumbling beside this grease pot. And I'm like, hey guys, like, I don't want to die in a grease fire. Can you not like put your hands on the stove? Like that's not going to work, man. But regardless, I think we had a great time, in all honesty. I know.
I think a lot was learned.
Yes.
A lot of magic was played. Way more booze was consumed. I mean, I think
played a round of magic. I actually drafted TSG's cube and
really surprised that there's photographic evidence of that, because 5 minutes after that photo, you would pass your cards off to somebody else and you were beer only from there on out.
I'm glad that there was a picture of that so I could prove everybody wrong that I played one actual match of Magic, and I feel terrible for my poor opponent because, as you pointed out, you know, obviously I drafted a mono red deck and I still couldn't figure out how to work these things in my hands, and that poor bastard had to sit there while TSG coached me through the last few turns, and then I'm like, all right, I'm done, can't do this anymore, and handed my deck off to none other than Desperate Ravings. I'm like, here, you like red cards? You've got to finish this for me because I can't think magic right now.
And see, I had the opposite experience. I actually got to learn a shit ton about Cube and drafting some of the strategies. So much so that I think me and Marcel both like feel like, wow, we've heard a lot about people say, hey, the GP is not where the action is, but you kind of think that, and you're like, nah, it can't be. Like, Cube can't be better than this. And we played Cube on, I think, Thursday and Friday night. And then Saturday we went to do the Team Sealed. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Like, we were like, this sucks. We're out of here. And we couldn't get back the way. Like, we're like, what are we doing paying money to enter this, play with substandard garbage? It was horrible. I was like, ugh. Now, I did enter, side note, I did enter a modern side event, which I crushed with Green Machine, which was fun as shit. So that was really good. Oh, yeah. And it was really interesting to see.
Didn't you get like 12 skee ball tickets for that too?
I got
all sorts of stoked about it.
Dude, I got 100 tickets. I almost got 200 tickets if I had I split with the last guy because I didn't understand what he was saying. So we sat down in the last round. I'm 3-1. If I go 4-1, that's 200 tickets. And I sat down and he's like, you want to split? And I'm like, what do you mean split? Like, do you want me to go first? And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, like, who's going first? And he's like, split? And I'm like, you mean and then I'm like, wait, oh, you mean for prizes? And I was like, I don't know, man. I really want to play. Like, the whole point of came, he's like, oh, well, I got my team shield starting in like 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I felt bad for him, right? I'm like, okay, I guess we'll split. And I'm like, by the way, what deck were you playing? He's like, Tron. I'm like, oh my god, for round one, I absolutely decimated Tron. Like, the deck is built to just crush Tron. So I was like, ah, shit, I shouldn't have let him walk. But I was too nice. But other than that, I mean, the modern side of it was really good. Very happy with that. Trying to help Evil KOIT there build his black and white pack red deck, which was, seems like it has legs, but we haven't found the exact build yet. But yeah, the team sealed was, it was kind of weird. It was opposite of Montreal for some reason. Maybe it was the lack of Scotty Magnus, that was holding us back. I don't know. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I just wanted to get back and play the cube. The cube is great. TSG has been gracious enough to pass down the box. All right, what do we call it? The cube shrine? I'm not sure what it is.
Call it what you will. For a long time, I've had a very nice mahogany, custom made, everything custom inside to hold my cube. But it's just not conducive to traveling to events. No. And I obviously had to bring it with me to Portland this time around. And it was fortuitous timing that I was finally able to pick up my Kickstarter edition of the Cube Vault from the Cube Guys. Check that out at cubevault.com if you're interested in something that's just a few steps below what Maddie now has in his possession.
I love how he says a few steps below.
It is. I have settled for an inferior product because I need to be able to play Magic on the go and travel to an event.
That is a sweet advertisement, by the way, for the Cube Vault people.
Yeah, no, you know what? He's right. I mean, I had to just bring an empty box back, and it's not easy. It was heavy and it's a pain in the ass. But now that it's home, it's gorgeous. I love it. Like I'm
that box is Swedish.
I am full on fuck every format but cube. I ripped apart my entire, like, every deck I own except for the modern Green Machine deck is destroyed. I just went through my collection. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm building my cube. And like she said, my goal now is to form a trusted group of guys we can play. And, I'm gonna make it a thing up here, dude. I'm gonna make that, the cube proud.
All it took was over 3,000 miles of travel and 4 days of playing Magic, and he finally got the message. I guess it's worth it.
No, you know what it is? It's many people will say this. If you have an experience with no one, right, like on your own, it's one thing. If you're carefully tutored under the master, it's different. So it was very, like, you ran an incredible, like, it's almost like you ran a mini event. You was amazing. Like, this guy's a master. He just sets it up. The packs are ready. You sit down. Boom, boom, boom. Walks you through how to do it. Like, three, four games in, and you're like, all right, I know what I'm doing. And KYT came to play a game. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing, KYT? Why are you drafting five color madness? Like, I don't know what you're doing there. But it was awesome.
There was definitely a time there. I think it was Saturday. It must have been Saturday that I think I counted the hours. Like, we were, like, up at 8 a.m., and it took us to, like, 8 p.m. to fire the draft. And that was easily the most pissed I was the entire weekend, where I was like...
Well, that's because we went to the event. If we had...
I was like, yeah, but we were, like, back. You guys are cooking potatoes. We had supplies and beers going by, like, 2 in the afternoon. I was like, how has no one shown up to make this thing fire? I mean, we figured it out. Like, you know, the drunks couldn't make it up the hill at that point. And there were only so many guys that weren't working on prepping food.
Yeah, the sad thing is all the responsible people went to actually be responsible. And that's what happened. So you were like, I guess I'm not playing cube right now. But you know what?
I think you learned a lot about how it's really the greatest format. And you also, it's funny, so many people were introduced to Rochester Draft, which they'd never played it before.
Oh,
which is a little
yeah.
surprising to me, considering someone like KYT, who's work in that Pro Tour, has not partaken in the Rochester Draft before.
He's the format, right? Like, he's a machine. He give him draft or standard or whatever he's playing, he'll crush it. But he doesn't tolerate that side event shit, right? He's focused on what he's doing. So it was good though. I mean, I could honestly say that my Magic game, will probably improve 1,000-fold playing Cube versus anything else. So it's such an intensive format in terms of like what you're doing. Watching the draft strategies, which, man, open draft facing is so awesome. It's like, cause you start to see what the other guys are doing. You're like, shit, I can't draft this anymore. Like, I better, it like totally forces, what you were doing in a vacuum into a totally another area. So that was really amazing. So I can't say enough about Cube. I know a lot of people are like, okay, enough about Cube, but. It is the best format.
I love it. I absolutely.
I love you say
love
you love it, and you're like, yeah, I love it, man. But I'm not.
Well, no, I mean, I know, that's what I was getting at. Is like, I love fucking Cube. Cube is amazing. Like, even though I don't get to play my Cube with a bunch of people, I get to play with a few people. But I love it. It's absolutely my favorite format. But then I also realized over the weekend, as you were realizing how amazing Cube is, I realized that like I probably shouldn't even plan on playing any Magic whatsoever ever again in my future except for online when I'm at home. Because if I'm around other people, no Magic gets played. There's no desire to play any fucking Magic.
Well, we gotta change that.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big things we learned about this weekend's SVU HQ was a lot of what could be taken away from the Magic playing and the not Magic playing sides of it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, and not to say like the community's fragmented, but I think people go in with different expectations. And I think it should be very clear. Like, in my opinion, I believe like some people went too far and, you know, you should throttle that back a tad. And, I think it would be a better event.
When Maddie Studios is like, dude, you should calm down.
I think I said calm down to Tyler Durden there about, I don't know, 100 times. And I was just like, look, I don't want to fight you. Don't grab my dick. Please stop. And I got to say, look, hey, everyone, huge shout out to everyone who showed up. I was cooking and I literally saw, about 5 people walk in and each person brought a 2-liter bottle of Kraken. And it was gone. It was gone. Like, I was kind of scared. I'm like, wow, didn't someone just bring a bottle? I'm like, how are we going to drink all this liquor? And then I would bring, like, a plate of fries I just cooked out, and the liquor would be gone. I don't know.
It is the official, unofficial housewarming party of the SVU.
Yeah, it is.
The Kraken will always open doors for you with us. And that does bring me back to a great story from Thursday night and our good friend who couldn't find his shoes.
Oh, yes.
And again, I don't want to have to dissect every single experience that happened while we were out there. But man, a couple of nice gentlemen met up with us Thursday night, which is already pretty hardcore because a lot of guys weren't in town yet. They came in with the more reasonable fifth of Kraken, not the full blown handle of Kraken, which we saw a great many of. Around one single round, everyone took a shot, was done. I thought it was going to be a casual evening. I think I looked back over the next time and that fifth was gone, and I didn't really put 2 and 2 together that it was mostly ingested by one nice, fine gentleman, Bull2Four on Twitter. Chris, if you're out there, this is for you, buddy. You went super hard Thursday night. You get the award. Not even Tyler Durden gets the award for Thursday night.
That's true. For Thursday,
best
you win.
Best man for Thursday night. He had a rough one, and I got to see a lot of it without really realizing it. And he didn't take Maddie's cab back to downtown.
I'll say this. Look, for everybody out there, I'm sure these events are exciting. And I'm sure they're, you know, you go in and you want to impress, right? But listen, this is like a tip. You do not try to drink like heavy metal. You do not try to party like Slick Jagger. You just don't. Just be yourself. You don't need to take it to that level because I feel a lot of people were pushing themselves beyond their limits. And I'm like, guys, poor No Shoes McGee there. He He, let's just say he got acquainted to the porcelain throne a little too late in the evening. I was a little scared. To bring him in the cab. I said, look, I'll gladly split a cab with you, but the look on your face, it is just scaring me right now.
You better tell me when to stop.
Yeah, well, I was like, look, you gotta be sure. And that's when he just sat down and didn't speak again. So I was like, okay, he's not ready to leave. He needs to be close to the porcelain princess right now.
Lord.
Oh man. But good times. I think overall it had its ups and downs.
I had a blast. I obviously got a little bit out of hand sometimes. I'm gonna blame Slick for all of it. Just cause it's
all
fun.
Slick fun.
No, I feel like that's, I want to go to a GP one of these days where I want to actually go and fucking play in the event or something. This is twice now that I've gone to one and I'm like, yeah, I'd much rather just get as fucked up as I can. And yeah, like I said earlier, I think this weekend was a huge game of me and Slick going, oh yeah, check this out. And then just trying to next level each other, which fucking got terrible by
you guys found levels I didn't even know existed.
There are
certain things that just will never have to be known to the people that weren't standing there at the house.
Yeah, now for all the people that were like, because I got a lot of flack, and I don't understand this. A lot of people saying I exaggerate, and like these SVUV events aren't what they say. Kevy, am I lying?
No, I literally like I'll just like,
or am I protecting people?
Yes, protecting people.
Okay.
Like, there was a point in time that, like, I don't really remember who was there or who all was involved, but there were, like, a few grown men banging their cocks on the kitchen table in the middle of a party.
All right, we're going there. I guess we're going there.
No, we're not. I'm leaving it at that. I'm going to just say that is not the time that it got weird.
That's okay. That's the scary part. So this is the thing. We had called the house at the top of the hill. What would we call it? On site.
Because at some point we decided that like we weren't even going to make it to the event site. Yeah. So let's just make it easier and call the house that's on the same street the event site, and we'll see if we can make it to the event site in a little bit.
The cube house was the on site house. The other house was the zombie house. So making it down the hill after we were drafting, and I walk in and I walk in, not 30 seconds into the room, they're like, hey man, did you see Kevin? Well, anyway, I don't know who was, some person, banging their wieners on the table as a contest. I was like, that doesn't shock me.
Why it happened. To be honest with you, I don't remember what prompted us to be like, oh yeah, check this out, and just banging our cocks on the kitchen table. And like I said, that was like, I mean, yeah, that's pretty awkward for a lot of people.
No,
you held a contest to try to guess why that event would happen, no one would even get it. I don't think it was like I could hammer that nail in faster or...
Yeah, it had to be something dumb like that, but it was... That was weird, but then it got even weirder throughout the night. So, there's shit that doesn't need to be said on the podcast. But, no, Maddie, you are not lying. These things get a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, so for all the people that like were giving me shit the whole time, you know, fuck you, because I am not exaggerating. I am trying to not go to jail, and I'm trying not to have other people go to jail. But
by Sunday afternoon, we called. I mean, the houses were pretty close to each other. They weren't, adjacent, but they weren't a mile apart. They were a short walk. And the house up the hill was quickly referred to as the adult house, and the house down the hill was the kids' house. And the kids' house was yellow, very loud, very smelly, a little dirty, little interesting to be in there.
What's ironic about it is out of the two houses, they were both like Airbnb houses, and out of the two houses, the grown-up house was like very like retro, fucking like modern retro kind of. I know that's like a contradiction in terms, but
I would say hipster, but all right.
Yeah, hipster, yeah. Fine. But very, very like, you know, geared toward the younger person, like the decor going on and what was going on there. Yet the children's house looked like grandma's cottage. Like it literally, Like, yep, I mean, there's a nice garden in the front. You walk inside, there's nice furniture. There's like, I believe I played Tetris with the coffee tables in our mine and Slick's bedroom for some reason, because I tried to figure out why the coffee tables were in our room, and somebody's like, dude, you did that. I'm like, no, I didn't. I was like, well, no. And they're like, no, you brought those in here, and I'm not really sure why you brought them in here. I'm like, they look like Tetris pieces. That might have had something to do with it. But like, it was a nice house.
It was just awkward because the house down the hill looked so much like Grandma's house that it was even more disturbing.
What was going on
there?
Yeah. So
that poor kitchen table, man.
Yeah. The highlights.
I didn't even make it. We were there. I was there for like 3 full days, and I didn't even realize that there was an upstairs to that house until like Sunday. Well, like early Sunday morning, late Saturday night at like fucking 2:30 in the morning, and we're sitting there still playing Werewolf, and Jay Bush is up on this like halfway up the staircase, like overseeing this game and playing God, and I was like, oh shit, there's a whole upstairs to this house. I had no idea.
That tells you where your eyes were. But I was going to say, for the highlight, or for some people in the community, the low light of the evening, we had Jay Bush successfully funded. We brought him down. And I'll say this. Jay is like I'll just say, me and Jay, if we get together, we are like a record on repeat that will just pick a funny saying, and we won't stop. And I think people wanted to stab us in the face. Because all we were doing is quoting funny quotes from retarded internet videos the whole time, and it was pretty funny, I gotta say, guys.
I think the part of the problem was that Jay came down, like, already cranked to 11. I mean, as Jay saw it, he was the Clooney of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So his expectations of what he should be having in front of him were difficult to meet, despite the fact that I think the SVU did an excellent job of actually meeting those expectations and really going over the top to bring him out there and accommodate him. He did get kind of caught in the middle of a zombie invasion at one point, but I feel like obviously Jay can keep his cool, and he can run his mouth for days. So he did an excellent job of corralling some werewolf games and meeting up with everybody that hoped to meet him out there.
He did a great job. He had a good time from what I could see. Like he had a blast with everybody. And yet he was like he was very diplomatic, as were, you know, both of you, very diplomatic. Cause there were some people that, you know, obviously like Slick and JR and I were on full tilt the whole weekend. And like there were certain people that you could see, they're like, all right, well, I don't want to be anywhere near you. And then there were other people that are like, I'm going to try to drink as much as you. But there were these like nice in-betweeners like you guys, Jay, and both of you were cool. You'd be like, oh, all right, you're obviously being a little bit out of hand right now, and we need to tone it down a little bit. But you weren't assholes about it. You're like, all right, let's just try to guide you in the right direction. Whether we listened or not,
I think me and TSG realize they're guiding you three is like guiding a cruise missile. You do not change its course. You can delay it some. But it's going to hit, and it will explode. And there's nothing – it makes a fucking mess wherever it hits, man. And it is – there's nothing we can do about that, but that's fine. I mean, I think I think overall, Jay had a good time. I would hope so.
Motherfucker kept me up till like 4 in the morning each night he was there, which definitely impaired my ability to do anything each subsequent day. But, you know, I think Jay and I bounce a lot of cube ideas off of each other, which was something that – we'd really wanted to do face-to-face a lot that we hadn't had a chance to. So I will trade the no sleep for hanging out with him. Because my God, that guy is like a living, walking cartoon character.
Yeah,
and absolutely. When you treat him like he's special, he eats it all up.
Oh, yeah. He needs, like you said, he's Clooney. And if you keep that in mind, you're fine. But if you treat him like a normal human, he doesn't like it. But he does have a very like movie starish way of cooling off in the morning. Which was interesting. I bear witness
to that.
Yeah,
those pictures won't see the light of day either.
No, that was, someone showed me. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I can't say that I haven't tried it before, but to do it in public is another thing, but that's cool. I mean, hey, you got to float your boat as you will.
Yeah, I mean, to have that kind of, to kind of moxie to be like, look, the shower was hot. I'm going to need to air out here. Was not what I was expecting.
Dude, I was not expecting that either. I honestly was like, wow, King of the North. No shit.
Yeah,
no shit.
King of the North.
But I will say, Latina woman. That is a joke for my Bush friend. Moving on, though, from Portland, I think our wrap-up is, I know a lot of people want to know, like, because we were planning SVU events and et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, we had the police show up. And that kind of, I hate to say it and disappoint people, but it kind of put a slight negative tone on things. I had breakfast Sunday morning with Helen, at the site. I got to talk to her for about a good hour. And, I mean, she kind of gave me the soft letdown that, you know, you guys are a little too intense. So we got it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know you don't. But we gotta, I mean, as far as like doing official sanctioned things at this time, I think the SVU is a little too hardcore right now. We gotta tone it down.
I don't think I ever had any visions of grandeur that they were ever going to officially sanction.
Well, they were when I spoke to her on Friday, but I don't know what happened.
Oh, calm down, everybody. We're not fucked here. Everything's all right.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're fine. We're fine. We have other plans. They're still in place.
All it means to me is a new strategy and game plan needs to be developed for the 2015 SVU HQ event. I mean, I think that opinions have changed, but they have not gone away. I think, sober up from this trip. Everyone will be excited to do it again. Just, slight modification.
Yeah, I think
the best strategy, and that was, we were talking about that on Twitter today. Like, I think she still got me convinced that we're going to Winnipeg for a GP. And then I realized that she's just doing the Magic community a favor and trying to send me to the wrong city. Which would probably be the best way to do it.
It could be. It could be.
At the SVU event, and like I said also, I think that Slick Jagger and I, literally, if we are in the same city together, we have to have a parent or guardian.
I think the secret is, from now on, as you arrive at the airport, I'm going to give each of you like 10 Valium. And I think that will bring you down slow enough where you're not insane. But moving on.
If I had to succinct every evening, I would say Thursday was pretty much on point. I think that was outside of the B-dubs. Everything went off exactly the way I hoped it for. Friday just got derailed there at the very end, but Marcel's cooking was amazing. It was great to see everybody come out. Saturday night was kind of an extension of that. It was really kind of the free-for-all of anybody in town in the neighborhood to come visit. And obviously we know what that turned into with the authority. But that's what we want to do. I mean, I'd love it if we could do something bigger in a place that's more accommodating to that noise level. And Sunday, everyone was so gone that it was difficult just to get shit together. But that's when people like KYT could show up and not be scared off by loud noises and got to enjoy himself.
Sunday, we played the most cube. That was the best part. I was like, hey, man, it's like 10:30 in the morning. What are you doing? He's like, get over here.
Sunday was probably the drunkest that I was because it was just a combination of the entire weekend.
There you go.
After Saturday's events where you guys went so hard, it almost scared us normies Sunday to be like, I don't want to go near the zombies or they might get us. Let's just try to hide out. And eventually they will find us. They'll smell the meat.
yeah, no shit.
We did have Voodoo Donuts, which helped a lot. That was
Oh man, you weren't even there for that, you motherfucker. That was just me, Kevy, at his only sober moment, which was so unfortunate. Why he had to be sober for the hour-long wait in line for those donuts was like, that's where you're doing it wrong. That's where we should have been plowed.
Exactly.
That's probably true, but I did get to sample some.
I was going to say, Maddie got to sample some. I, on the other hand, had no business with donuts the whole fucking time. I was like, yeah, we got to go do this Voodoo Donuts thing. Right now, I don't want a fucking donut. You remember, it was like, nah, I need something salty. So we stopped in between donut shops and got breakfast burritos. So I got some food in my belly. I needed something salty and greasy. That did the fucking trick. So then we stood through the line and we got fucking three fucking boxes of fucking Voodoo Donuts, brought them back to the house. The whole time, me telling myself, now, this is Voodoo Donuts. I have to try one of these. I'm just going to do it later because right now I just want to, you know, drink a bit. I don't need to fucking eat. I just had a breakfast burrito. And, forgot to.
Forgot to is a good way to put it. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I bought a goddamn dozen of donuts from Voodoo Donuts, and I haven't even tried them yet.
So. Yeah, well, the funny thing was that it was myself, Desperate Ravings, and Kevy that, like, bought in on the donuts, because, like, we had went on the breakfast mission for all the guys that were hungover, and I was like, let's do this, like, let's do the most Portlandy thing we can do, and by the time we got back, everyone was like, man, you wait, took way too long with food, we just started drinking again.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours worth of a fucking trip, 2.5, 3 hours worth of a trip or something.
Like, yeah, it was pretty intense to just try to go pick up food on a Saturday morning.
Well, we went to Blue Star. I mean, like, understandably, like, we went to Blue Star first, like, and check out those donuts. And I was like, all right, well, let's go to Voodoo now. Oh, wait, let's first, and we got to stop. We got to get breakfast burritos because Kevy doesn't want donuts like a fucking classy bitch. And then we stopped and we had a – which was an awesome little fucking breakfast excursion, by the way. The fact that we went to a donut shop, you guys ate, then we sat down at a fucking random, like, hole-in-the-wall Mexican place and ate again, and then went and waited in line to get more donuts. It was actually pretty impressive.
I mean, it's impressive because that was – a lot of the trip was preparing to eat, eating, drinking, and playing Magic. I also really like that is the most cohesive story you will get out of Kevy for this entire trip, because that was the part he was most sober for, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Now it's funny, because going into the weekend, one of the big topics that I kept coming up was the fact that, man, these fucking Wizards guys, they're making 4 standard Pro Tours, fucking Modern's dead, and all this shit.
Somebody I know wouldn't shut up about it, actually.
I know, it was me. I was butthurt, man. I was, like, really upset. Like,
I mean, I think the audience is so lucky that there was no recording last week, because it just would have been an hour of angry Maddie bitching about standard Pro Tours.
I don't like it. I think it was wrong, but... I think we got an announcement that they're putting one of them back to Modern, which is nice. I'm quite happy about that.
Right.
I think they just lost sight of the fact that everyone that I spoke to, it's not that they want to necessarily watch a Modern Pro Tour. It's that they just bought into this incredibly year-long hyped up new Eternal format that we're supporting, that Air Force, Foresight sat and said, we will have reprints. It's not like Legacy. Blah, 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 blah. And then, like, we're all waiting. We're all salivating for Modern Masters 2. And the answer they give us is, fuck it. We're just going to make 4 standard Pro Tours. And how that isn't digested, but every single player I know is like, yeah, what the fuck? That's like a money cop-out. So I think they just completely misunderstood their player base. That the players don't want to just consume endless standard sets. That's very money intensive and worthless. What they really want to do is they want to balance playing multiple formats, but have the added benefit of holding value in a Modern format. And that's what a lot of people I talk to, they're like, they're not overtly reacting one way or the other. They're just really upset that, hey, I would like to have all my standard cards not be worthless. So, could we kind of half promote the Eternal format that, yes, you don't make as much money on, but you keep us invested in sticking around? And I think that was just bad on them for not understanding what that is. They're too worried about the bank syndrome of focus on the new customer, forget the guy that's spending, $20,000 or God knows, I don't know how much, $4,000 or $5,000 a year on Magic. So, I'm glad that they reversed it. I think that was a great move. I think it was a stupid move for not consulting us first, or consulting anyone for that matter, because I'm pretty sure if you asked anyone, they would say that's a stupid move.
Right, and I agree with you completely, and I think that the reason that this decision was made was not because there are people out there clamoring, being like, it should all be standard, all I have is standard. It was more of still the higher barrier to entry into the Modern format right now, which is the conversation I was having with you last week, that this was never intended to be a long-term answer, in my opinion. It was always meant to be a holdover until Modern cards are more readily accessible to the player base. And yes, the way it was handled was, well, one of the worst possible ways you could do it. I mean,
pretty much, right?
Cut the format down at the knees.
Right. It's the, you know what someone said to me? They're like, it's a trust factor. So if I have no trust in this format, I'm not going to invest in it. Now, Wizards may think that, oh, I'm just buying all my cards secondhand, but they're not. What they don't realize is everyone who buys cards for Standard is also smart enough to look at long-term playability. So I don't buy a Voice of Resurgence to play it for 16 months in Standard. I buy it to play it in Standard and also because it's probably going to hold value as it moves forward. That's the key. I think they just completely, I don't know how they don't, they're in their bubble. They're in their, you know, their thrones and they don't see it. But I wish they would interact more on the ground, because on the ground, the picture is crystal clear.
I mean, on the ground, what they're hearing is that the cards in Modern are too expensive. That's what they're hearing. So the,
and so,
the way they tried to counteract, that makes sense in their heads.
Let's kill the format. Hey, it's expensive. Let's kill the format. That'll make it cheaper. That's asinine. How about you reprint? How about, look, I am so tired of Aaron Forsythe telling me, hey man, we're not reprinting Tundras. Get used to Hollowed Fountains in Legacy. Tough shit. But Modern, we're going to support. Where's
totally
our fucking...
Totally different.
I don't think so. Where's our fucking support? How do you release a set? It blows to the roof. It's been almost a year. Where, like, okay, guys, I get you move slow. I get your dinosaurs. I get this. But I don't think it's this slow. I think they're just...
There's light at the end of the tunnel. We all know that there's light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Tell me what the light is.
Everyone that gives two shits, or even half of one, is looking at that giant marker on the Grand Prix calendar for next year. Worldwide, three events, the same weekend.
Okay.
Memorial Day weekend, May 30th and 31st. They have gone out of their way to make it global simultaneous, but also give us none of the details as to where a North American, European, and Asian Grand Prix will take place all at the same time. So everybody has jumped on the Modern Masters 2 bandwagon, and everyone in North America is crossing their fingers that it's going to be in Las Vegas.
So
yeah,
I went on recon mission as soon as I heard this. I pressured everyone. Everyone on Sunday. That was the whole reason I went to the site. I talked to Helen. She will not tell me, but she did say not to get her in trouble. But I did say, I'm like, if I was to plan one event, I get to go to one event in 2015 and I want to go to Las Vegas. Is there going to be something for me? And she said, pretty sure there's going to be something for you. So take that as what that means. Maybe she was speaking about poker. I don't know.
Vegas is actually a sweet city. Have fun.
Yeah, by the way. But also, Deep Throat, MTG Deep Throat, has kind of shown me something that's very interesting of purchasing rates in Vegas. So, again, something secondary that leads to this. Well, I don't know. Could be something interesting. If it is, sweet. I think, everyone knows, we've all agreed, if Modern Masters 2 does come out in Vegas, guess what? Heavy Meta SVU.
One of the old ways we used to determine where the coming year's Pro Tours we would be was that you would look at popular locations that Wizards went to and look at the bookings for the locations they generally use. Like, we knew that there was going to be a Pro Tour in Hawaii in, like, 2008, like a year and change in advance, because they had booked, you know, like the Oahu Convention Center or whatever. Now, all you got to do is take this one step further and start probing around Cashman Center and see if they're going to book that weekend, if it's available or not. Mm-hmm. If not, who's got it? And we can quickly backdoor a lot of this information. We just don't know necessarily.
Someone call up the Cashman Center. Someone call up the Cashman Center and say, May 30th, I want to book it. I have $100,000. See what they say. Yeah. Someone hook us up. I mean, I hope they do it. I think it'd be great. I hope they don't use the Cashman Center, but from what I'm hearing, there isn't another financially viable option in Vegas.
Yeah, that's your best choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's cool. As far as a lot of people want me to touch on, you know, what was the big discussion? What did we come out with the Heavy Meta SVU event 2015? The answer is a lot of people have a lot of suggestions. The top three that I think came to conclusion is, we believe that, I know you guys are going to laugh, San Diego is one of the top three.
That choice is purely on destination location.
Yes, yes.
If you're going to take a North American city that's going to have the best weather, it's going to be probably the most conducive to a bunch of drunken, crazy Magic players, and hopefully have the kind of space.
Drunken, crazy Magic players, though.
How about just excited
Magic players? Magic are tame and docile.
No, they're not. No, they're not. That is another thing I've come to realize. No, they're not. Or maybe we're attracting the wrong ones. Cause the ones that were around us were not. But, I think Las Vegas, San Diego, and what was our third option, I believe?
Toronto, motherfucker.
Toronto. That's right. So those are, I mean, I don't know. We still have a lot of things. Frankie Good old Frankie. He started a Google group. He wants to get some open discussion on it. So if you have a comment, you hit Frankie Richards up, jump on that Google group, throw out your ideas. Nothing is set in stone at this point. We're still trying to figure it out.
Ideally, and in a perfect world, we can all afford to do an East Coast and a West Coast next year, but that may end up being a dream world. Who really knows? If you have to put all your eggs in one basket, we hope it gets to be the Las Vegas basket. But if that basket ends up not being a real basket and I have to find other basket-related analogies, look for San Diego to be at the top of that list, assuming it's not astronomical prices to get a place there that will accommodate us all, which would be my number one fear.
Now, the one thing that I guess divides the community the most is that there is those that believe that a no GP event and those that want to piggyback on a GP event. I think me and Boosh agree, shockingly, that you cannot just do a nothing event. I believe that to get the most variety of people, otherwise we attract just a very narrow type of person. I think to get the variety of people, that make these events so interesting is to piggyback off something so that those that don't want to do this activity can go check out artists at the GP, can go play in some side of it. And it's, I personally believe variety is what makes it interesting. So I found it really interesting that I could walk around Portland in the morning, I could go have breakfast, then I could go check out the GP for an hour, then I could go talk to Arcade Post, then I could get in a cab, I could go down, play Cube for 5 hours, and I could, like, we could, it was a lot of options. So if you said, Matt, there's that.
If we don't have a GP, if we don't have something like that going on, you're going to get all of the zombies. You're gonna
that's
get
what
all
I'm
of the,
afraid
you're
of.
You're going to get all of the children, and that's it.
I mean, hey, I'm all for having some beers and some cracking and, like, chilling out. But I am – I mean, I hate to say it, guys, but I'm just not – I'm just not for getting Blitz for 5 days straight. I just don't think that that's EV for me. You know, like, I'm not going to drop the money it takes to fly down to do that. I could do that in my house and Skype in. I mean, I think Martin Burnett was the smartest of all. He Skyped in. And just got drunk with us via Skype for two hours.
Martin just sat there on a Skype call and watched us draft for an hour.
Which was like the smartest thing I've ever seen someone do. Like, he just saved himself thousands of dollars.
So that's the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is if you do something not attached to a GP, you might be able to get better rates on being somewhere.
I don't know.
Again, I'm not going to come in and try to defend not piggybacking a GP. I'm just going to bring up the points that, you know, if we took the time and energy to put something together, it could be more cost prohibitive for people to go. Lowering the price and the barrier to entry could be a determining factor for some people. We would just need those events that, unfortunately, things like the police being called kind of took away some of our prize support for potential events for next year. So that option may be completely eliminated at this point. Who knows? It's still a long ways away. We can maybe, you know, ride out our probation.
And, yeah, we now actually also have to find somebody else to rent the place because Marcel is just like, hey, my Airbnb account is fucking canceled after this weekend.
Yeah, that's – we have to have a rotating person willing to take the damages for
Marcel, I got to say fucking Marcel and Desperate Ravings fucking took the ass end of this fucking weekend because those were the two that rented the houses. And they took it like champs, man. They – like, I didn't get punched by either one of them. I was actually spoke nicely to by both of them about the fact that, like, yeah, I'm not doing this next time, which I completely understand. But, yeah, there's that end of it, too. We've got to curb the crazy.
Yeah, please.
Somebody's got to have their ass on the line.
Yeah, I think it has to be a zombie. If a zombie has his ass in the line, maybe it'll prevent them from doing it.
All of those things make me lead towards more of an East Coast event because the guys that are the hardest, most dedicated zombies are the East Coasters. I would love to do Grand Prix Toronto SVUHQ style next year. It's just so pedestrian for Maddie because he doesn't get to go anywhere exciting.
Oh, man, are you kidding? I would have a blast.
Maddie's going to have a new guy living in his basement because they're not going to they're either going to kick me out of Canada or they're going to not let me leave Canada. Or I'm going to be hiding in Maddie's basement because I don't want to go out in public because I'm going to get deported.
See, it's funny. I can recall the conversation that Kevy and I had about going to Canada because it was during the time that we were waiting forever for donuts. So I know he remembers it. And he's got a full-blown year to get that passport together. Yes. It's totally reasonable.
Stop fucking around.
No, I literally, we did, and I do remember this conversation. I've got the time. I have the ability to get in, and it's probably not as difficult as I keep thinking it is to be able to get into Canada. And now I'm good as far as like my past, my criminal history is concerned. Now I just gotta like basically talk to customs and be like, yeah, I want to get back into Canada. And they'd be like, all right, well, you're being good. I haven't got arrested. Thankfully, the Portland Police Department, you know, after we had that conversation, I didn't get arrested that night in Portland. So we're good.
Well, I think it's a bit of divine providence that the Grand Prix in Toronto next year is literally the exact same weekend that the GP Portland was this year that we attended. And it's a lot safer for me, too, because it's not during hockey season. So you guys will actually see me at the HQ.
That's such bullshit. If it were like, are you serious? You'd fly up here and just go to the hockey games the whole time? Like, come on.
I don't know.
I love it. He's like, well, Cube is the best, but so are the Leafs. I gotcha.
Yep, you said it perfectly.
I gotcha. I did say, like, I have to say, you know, TSG is probably one of the coolest people I've met in a long time. And I will be glad if he ever comes up here.
Never,
I will
not a paid for endorsement, by the way.
No, he didn't pay. No,
he didn't
I paid
pay
him.
For any of shit.
I paid him, man. No, I will treat him to a hockey game.
I will say
I can get tickets.
TSG, like I've loved the guy to death this whole time. We've been hanging out with him on the fucking podcast, hanging out here in the cave, and then getting to meet him for the first time was a fucking blast. And hanging out with him, he's a great fucking dude. And then he surpassed all my expectations when I got him to sign the best card ever for my community binder, and he did it without any complaint whatsoever.
Man, you know how many playmats we signed this weekend that had weird bodily fluids on them?
Yeah, Marcel's fucking playmat couldn't be any better. Marcel's playmat is Ginger Talion's, like, stick figure playmat version that he did for the Kraken contest. It's got Kraken on it, it's got signatures on it, and it's also got mine and Slick's blood on it. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, that
and
is, like...
And it may or may not have other body fluids on it. I don't know.
It's possible.
There was dick-banging going on.
I hope it wasn't on that kitchen table.
Yeah, that's
I feel like that fucking. I feel like that playmat needs to go to like every city in the fucking in North America and be signed. And I don't know, more blood and bodily fluids and crack and whatever. But I feel like he needs to invest in like a box of latex gloves and a big pair of tongs, and then like a, I don't know, maybe a whole box of those gallon freezer bags that you can just put it in, so that he can get it out and be like, all right, everybody. Start signing real quick. I got to put this back in the bag in like 10 minutes or we're all going to catch the Ebola virus and just be done with it.
Oh, my goodness. In other Magic news, the From the Vault Annihilation set was spoiled, I believe. It doesn't look that exciting to me.
Oh, I think you have expectations that are too high.
Okay, see, I don't understand this. This is a From the Vault. I have a cube. Here's the thing, what I don't understand.
I have a cube. TSG, I have a cube and a box to put it in now.
Yeah, no, I have both. But
now,
I mean,
Maddie,
hey.
Maddie,
yes.
Okay. Tell me honestly.
Okay, I will.
In all of it. Don't spare any honesty.
I won't. Okay. I will. What do you want me to tell you?
How you feel about it.
Oh, it sucks. It sucks large. Like, okay, if I don't... Okay, if you release a From the Vault set... And not a single card goes into my cube, then it's a failure. Like, I don't understand that. Like, this is the best Wraths of all time? No, they're not.
No.
I wouldn't even run a single one of them. Well, I've run Wrath of God, but, like, they're just not that exciting.
So I was bummed. Like,
Kevy is speaking for the people here, and I 100% get behind that. If this product had just had a copy of Damnation in it, a lot of people would have let a lot of the other aspects of it pass.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. It's not too much to ask for. Once we get beyond that, I think there's a little bit of full flavor. Like, we get Decree of Annihilation, which is obviously the namesake. But we get some really great cards with new artwork that are cube staples, like Living Death and Smokestacks, and Wrath of God does have questionably new artwork. And even a card like Cataclysm, although I don't personally run it, and Armageddon for the millionth printing. But I'm excited, you know, I get a Black Border copy of two different cards from Portal 3 Kingdoms because I'm, you know, if at the end of the day, all of the cards in my cube will eventually be Black Border. And this is a huge step towards going there. So Rolling Earthquake and Burning of Xin Yi have both made the cut this time around. And now I'm just looking at adding, you know, again, those two cards from the set will make my cube. and either new artwork on Smokestacks or new artwork on Fire Spout. I don't know yet, but otherwise, you know, I like it.
Now, question, do you, like, looking at the spoiler, like, them with the new borders, like, I get the whole, you know, you're going to have black border cards that you didn't have before, but does that make a difference to you, the fact that, like, you know, they're going to be black border, but they're also going to be the different card frame?
Overall, I like them, and I do like how they get the little extra, like, hollow foil treatment to make them extra
right.
special. We haven't had those cards in that look yet, so, you know, all in all, you know, again, you get a Living Death. Here you get an Upheaval here. I mean, you even get a Terminus, a legacy card. Like there are cards in this box set for I feel like a lot of people.
Right.
Maybe. I look at it this way.
Wrath of God, I wasn't impressed with the artwork.
I'm so disappointed with that artwork on Wrath of God. It is disgusting. I look at it like if I'm going to invest, how much of these things? $49 or $99? What is From the Vault go for?
From the Vault,
I believe that the suggested retail on the Surface is $34.99 for the 15-card set. I don't know what it is Canadian, but it's got to be close.
So probably $100 that they're going to charge you, right? No, not Canadian. I mean, like, they're going to charge you.
Yeah, I mean, LGS. But again, that's because there is value.
Is there? I don't know. Okay, you know what? I'm not gonna say anything. I will say that I do not like the foiling process and playing your cube. I have some critiques.
Oh, go on.
I know. Overall, playing a $250,000 cube is intense, but, but I cannot stand your fucking black planeswalkers. They are impossible to read. No, in a game, in dim light, when you're drinking, I had a Johnny, and I just was trusting. I was trusting what people are telling me. They're just like, I'm like, what does this plus one do again? I don't remember. Because I cannot read the card. So my suggestion, actually in my cube, I am not running any of those black planeswalkers. They're just too hard to read. I would almost pay Brandon and Proxy to make versions of them that were more legible. No shit. Like, those I didn't like. They're cool. I get that they're, you know, all exclusive.
Do the white
but...
on white. Did you see the Tamiya that he did? Do them in white
I
on
did.
White.
I did.
All right. Well, you found a very backdoor way of trying to talk down to foiling processes. I think From the Vault Annihilation is not your target here. And I will concede to you that this year's version of the San Diego Comic-Con Planeswalkers is a surprising letdown, which is quite the shame to have to admit out loud after I had just moved in on my entire Magic bankroll to move these things, thinking they were going to be a good move. And now here I am professing out loud on the podcast about how much of an abortion they really are.
I mean, they're still going to sell. Hey, this is the thing. They're moving. I guess if you like that shit, they're going to move. They're going to be collectible. They're not garbage. It's just in cube. Like, for functional cards you're not going to put in a box and stick in your closet, they're garbage.
Look, I'll pull them out of here. In all honesty, when you cast those motherfuckers, have no fucking clue what card it is. It looks like a solid black card with a little foil circle in the bottom. And this is totally different from the previous year's iteration. The first year they did the planeswalkers in the foiling process, they look great.
The text boxes have that silver
inking to them, so you can tell what they do. But this time around, it's just not thick enough. You just can't read what the cards do.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Jackie, I was playing against him. He has Nissa on the board, and I must have asked him three times, what is that? He's like, it's Nissa. I'm like, okay. And then, like, two turns later, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, how are you? Is that Koth? How did you just throw a mountain at me? He's like, it's not Koth. It's fucking Nissa. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's a black blob. It just doesn't look like it. So, I don't know, guys. Put some more effort into making those look sharp. Like, how about instead of all black, like, do something really incredible? I think that they chintzed out on those, so.
And that's the thing, like, I get where they're going, and I get just, you know, like, in general, design-wise, like, you know, matte black is a big thing these days, like, you know, black on black is a big thing these days, like, and I'm not talking Magic cards, just, like, design in general.
Oh, yeah.
He's not talking porno either.
Yeah, yeah, not porno either. It's not this.
Matte black on black.
Matte black on black. The Magic porno. But no, like I get that that's like, you know, it was a popular thing to do and it was cool that they did that, but I feel like they could have just ditched the black on black planeswalkers this year and just done something different. You know, not like white on white or anything like that. But just done something a little bit different and special for this year's Planeswalkers, mm-hmm. and then do it something else next year.
Well, they did. They tried to bring in a comic book artist.
Yeah, which is great. It's not the art. His JD's art is fine.
I get you, TSG, but at the same time, like, yeah, it could have been something completely different looking. Like, you know, somebody like an eye like yours could see, like, if somebody dropped, you know, one of this year's Planeswalkers as opposed to one of last year's Planeswalkers.
Oh, you could too, man. It's so different.
You could tell the difference. But, like, to everybody else, it's like, oh, you, oh, one of those black Planeswalkers? Was it this year or last year? What is that? And, like,
you can tell.
Can't look at it.
No, you can tell.
You'd be able to tell a lot more if it were completely fucking different.
I agree. Now, talking about, like, some of the successes of Portland, I think one of the biggest things that we noticed was the prize wall. So I'd gotten 100 tickets, which I was like, oh, okay, what do we do? I'm curious to see the prize wall. Checked it out. There was a couple of discrepancies. I had quite a conversation with, I can't remember his name, who was running the wall. But they, you know, a lot of the prizes were slightly mispriced, because they were purchased on site at the event, for inflated prices. So for instance, for 100 tickets, you get 10 packs of M15, which is like, okay, so that's fine. So, but then they'd have a pack of sleeves for 50 tickets. And you're like, well, hold on, that makes no sense. Why is that pack of sleeves? Why are the black sleeves 50 tickets, but I can walk over to Face to Face for $3 and buy a pack of sleeves? Like, what the fuck is that? So there were some really bizarre price discrepancies, but it was cool. So, I had
a cool idea that just needs to be worked out.
Yeah, and I had enough tickets to buy some packs and to get my kids the whole Funko Planeswalker toys, which they absolutely like have not stopped playing with. So I was super daddy when I came home with those things. They were like, oh my god, like Liliana and Jason. They were like, they love it, which is so funny because like little girls playing with the little Planeswalkers is so cute. Like they're like, what does this guy do? I'm like, oh, that's the evil zombie Garrick. They're like, ew, he's gross. Like, it's just so funny. Then they go stick him in like a farmhouse, you know, and they, oh, Garouk's in the farm. I don't know. But anyways,
see, I'm going to be so broke when my kid gets to your kid's age. Oh, like, dude. Literally, like, I was super dad when I came home, and I was all, look, dad took pictures of him being on an airplane. And he was stoked about it.
That's so sweet, dude. But, I mean, overall, I was really impressed with how receptive everyone was. I heard almost no complaints about the prize wall itself. I thought that was really good. So
it was set up for win. I don't think there was a way to really screw it up. I think the only thing it was really missing was, again, what I said earlier, taxicab vouchers and strip club coupons. And I think everyone would have been happy if you had just had those few key elements, because there was even drinks and stuff to be had with it, which is really an excellent execution of what you want out of, hey, I'm playing Magic. I don't necessarily need more of the same goddamn product. I would like anything else.
Right.
Well, he even said, which I found very surprising, he's like, yeah, the snacks are selling really well. I'm like, why would anyone pay $30 in our tournament, win $15 essentially of credit or $30 of credit, and then go buy chips and fucking pop? Like, to me, I'm like, those people were stupid. Like, but I guess, hey, that's cool, man. Like,
you just need the consumables to make it to the next tournament.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, the food was a little, in all honesty, the tournament center itself was incredible. Probably one of the best location venues
I've ever played. That is one of the biggest things I noticed from the weekend, like, while I was sober. I haven't been to a lot of GPs. I've been to, this would be the third one. And this was fucking out of hand, over the top by far, like the best looking venue, or functionally the best venue and the best looking venue. Like, I mean, the place looked beautiful. It was awesome. I loved the fact that they had like the whole artist row thing outside,
which was brilliant. Yeah, oh my god, like that was the smartest move. Yep.
Oh, it was awesome. You all the way around, of course, you still have your vendors and your prize wall and shit like that all the way around the outside wall of the fucking venue. But you go out the front doors and you've got a nice little carpeted area hallway sort of thing going on with all of the artists through there. So you could do that completely separately. And there was like, what, two, three fucking like restaurant fucking vendor stands, like there, yep, that are like
coffee one, shop. Like, very good.
One of them, like a restaurant that was just built into the place, like, yep. And that was fucking amazing. It was a great idea.
Yeah, even Helen said, she's like, this is the best location. Like, we're, yeah, they'll probably end up doing that annually, because Seattle is just has shit resources there, and I think that was one of the best things I've seen for, like, going to a GPay. You know, when you're in the hall, you don't want to fight through crowds and smell fucking nerd ball sweat and shit. So, like, you know, outside, the artists are there. They got their little tables. It was great. I talked to RK Post for, like, half an hour. It was awesome.
By the way, there was a Spirit of 76, one of the coolest sports bars I've ever hung out at.
There you go, people. From inside to outside, the GP venue. We got you covered. Yeah,
the venue was fucking amazing.
Tim Shields always, I mean, he knows a lot of the original art staff and a lot of artists, and he always has the best artist row at any GP. So don't set your standards too high when you go to a lot of the Grand Prix, because Tim is always going to have the best offerings for those areas. You know, next time you're at Charlotte, Miami, Nashville, you know, anywhere west of Oregon, east of Oregon, you are not going to find artists as well put together as when Tim Shields runs an event.
Yeah, now I will say this. We got to party with Mike Lilleman, which he is a fucking...
Oh, my God!
I love him. I fucking love that guy. He got to show us some sweet art that he snagged. But also, like, the artists themselves, like, for all the people that were, like, debating and humming and hawing about, like, oh, it's expensive to get prints, Steve Arga was charging $50 for gigantic 2 foot by like 3 foot full size limited edition prints. Like, that is cheap. The cost, like, I don't know, where were we? In Vegas, it felt like everything was really expensive. Here, it was dirt. Like, it was, everything was like so cheap. The Black Lotus, the swords, like $10 a print. Like, man, I wish I had more money. But I would have just cleaned up. I feel kind of bad I didn't. But I'm saving our money, to give you a little inside scoop, SVU members. I did have a conversation with RK Post for half an hour. There is something going on there, so. I will say no more. We do have episode 100.
You have planted an early seed, my friend.
I like to plant my seed early. See what happens.
See what happens.
Because I like to plant it in the ass and see what happens. No, anyways, don't come in my ass. I don't want to have babies.
I don't want a baby. Oh, God, that was another one of those quotes that just kept running rampant all weekend. Yeah. Thank you, Frankie, by the way. I don't want a baby.
Just don't, anyways, that was a great episode. I think Portland was a really good venue. I think they did everything right. I'm hoping, like, Toronto, Montreal, some of the venues around here really kick it up a notch. I'm hoping Vegas turns out. I'm really excited to see what, I believe there's a GP in San Diego, right, TSG?
There is a GP in San Diego, yes.
Yeah, so I'm really curious to hear more about that too, because if I did go out to the West Coast, I'd have to go to the city that I fucking tell the fuck off all the time. I mean, come on.
I mean, it is funny that Maddie literally actually thought it was a shithole when we first started talking to him about it.
I thought it was.
Marcel and I were sitting there and we were like talking. He was like, all right, we have the schedule. Like, what do we want to do for an SVU event next year? And Marcel and I are both like, man, San Diego is just beautiful. It's like, you know, it's like a beach party town. Like, that's not too unreasonable. And Maddie had like stopped us like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought that place sucked. And we're like,
literally.
No.
No, not at all.
I mean, I'm wrong, so I'm cool. Like,
I'm telling you, man,
I will learn more.
The only thing that's not amazing about San Diego, I mean, the food is great, the weather is off the charts, the sights are great, the things you can do while you're down there are great with the zoo, you got Legoland, you've got the gas lamp district for bars, you've got all kinds of great stuff down there. The only thing that's hard to swallow is the price you pay for all those amenities. It is an expensive place to be when you compare it to somewhere like Portland, Oregon, to go and hang out for 4 or 5 days.
Yep. Yeah. It is pricey.
It is. But, I mean, like, it can't be more expensive than Vegas, so. Vegas. Really?
Vegas is priced to move. You got to remember that, man.
I don't know, man. $100 taxi cab rides were, that's what killed me.
That's, you're an idiot is what that is. That's not an idiot. With how expensive the city is.
That was the Cashman Center and where it was located, man. Anyways, next time, hey, SVU HQ tip, we are renting cars. There's no fucking way we're cabbing. If Las Vegas happens, we're renting a bus.
Car. We had a rental car and every time somebody had to drive it because it's a goddamn Prius, like nobody could figure out whether the car was on or not. Or how to start it. Like, while we were sober getting donuts, like, TSG's like, wait, okay, so I've got this thing in my hand, and I got my thumb on this button. Now, if I push the button here, I think it's gonna start. Is it on? Is it on? Wait, is the brake off? Yeah. Oh, no, brake's not off. Okay, now I think it's on. Let's hit reverse and see if the alarm goes off, or see if it actually goes in reverse, because you can't tell if it was on or not. We had a car, and it was fucking crazy. Same thing, Porthos Mike. That motherfucker is just like, wait, hold on. Wait, are we on? Yeah. Oh, no. Wait, yeah. Yeah, we're on. Okay, we're good. Like, it was ridiculous. So if you rent a car, don't rent a fucking
bus. We'll rent a bus. How about that? Or a tank. God damn it. Take you guys around. We'll need a fucking
not
tank.
In San Diego, because wasn't it, TSG, you're, you know, a California native. For the most part,
you could say that. Yeah, I know my way around.
Wasn't it in San Diego when that whole dude went crazy on the freeway with a tank episode?
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen.
I'm pretty sure that was in San Diego, so it might be in poor taste. Although we are pretty much all about poor taste, it might be in poor taste to rent a tank while we're in San Diego.
As long as nobody in the SVU starts trying to dig a tunnel to Mexico while you're in San Diego, I think we'll be all right.
Hey, There are a few people that I believe probably would do it, and if I was drinking enough, like I was on a couple of nights, I'd have helped them.
It just dawned on me. San Diego sounds pretty damn scary, because knowing the circle you guys roll in, I think Slick and probably Tyler Durden and Kevy might accidentally find their way to Tijuana, and now we'd have to go get you.
Oh, yeah, very, no.
Very, very, very close proximity to Tijuana.
I could see that. Hey, guys, we're going for beers. Where did they go? And we get a call. Hello? Your friends are in Mexico.
Yeah, I have, like, the utmost respect for everybody in the SVU that was in Portland that did not let me, Slick, Time Elemental, any of us, Death Right Magus, any of us go to jail. Like, all those of us that we were basically, like we said earlier, that the children that came on the trip, none of you guys let us go to jail. You all made sure we were well taken care of. And I appreciate that because I got to come home instead of sitting in a jail in Portland, Oregon.
Now, I will say this, gentlemen. We do have quite a few questions that Twitter has asked. I believe we've kind of covered a few of them. But there are some here. Slick is asking, please don't ruin his career. I believe we'll keep you safe there. Now this is one I don't know.
Talk about like Slick's cock on the fucking episode.
Well, we could go there. Well, here's a question. Les Kershaw asks, are the rumors true that Slick Jagger has the word money draw tattooed on his butt cheek?
Oh, we decided, you would know. We decided this weekend that their podcast needed to have its name changed to Money Drunk.
Money Drunk is very, very good. Yeah, sadly that is, man.
So I hope Slick doesn't have Money Draft tattooed on his ass because his podcast is now officially known as Money Drunk.
Money Drunks. Michael Motika says, ruin him. Have me on and I'll do it for you. Absolutely. We'll bring you on, Mike. We will have you ruin Slick for you, man. Daniel Hall asks us, why are we not at Gen Con? Why aren't we at Gen Con?
Oh,
that shit's way more expensive than Oregon.
Yeah. I made it to Gen Con. Like, could you imagine if, like I saw Sprankle tweeting about that shit. She's like, I just landed and I've got like 45 minutes to go home, pack, and fucking get back on a plane and go to Gen Con. I was like, oh my God. If I would have had to deal with that shit, there's no way.
I think we could make it to Gen Con. It's just, how the fuck do you get tickets? Like,
no,
I would love to go.
If I'd have gone from Portland to Gen Con, like everybody else.
Oh, you mean right after? No. We could.
It was like literally like turn around and go back, except for like a different part of the country. No, I would have died. Literally, I would have died.
I would, yeah. I think there's, well, I assume he's asking us, Would we? Well, okay. Why we're not in Gen Con this week is because we're still hungover. Would we go to a Gen Con? Yes, it's just too expensive. So that's that one. Kyle,
what are your thoughts on Gen Con?
It's awesome. It's an amazing weekend of gaming for all kind of tabletop things. There's some incredible vendors there that do all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't even think that you'd be into or want to pick up while you're there. It's definitely worth doing once. It's less and less about the magic, though. And since it is less and less about the magic, I would rather hang out in Portland and cube for 4 days straight than go to Gen Con these days. But if I wasn't going to cube at all, I would want to go to Gen Con and do everything else in tabletop gaming.
Could we cube and go to Gen Con?
It's tough because Gen Con is definitely one of those floors where, like, they have huge open gaming spaces, but you've got to watch your shit.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to say cube at Gen Con, just cube while we're in the city.
Again, there are gamers at every single restaurant 24 hours of the day while those 4 days of gaming is going on.
Tristan, have you looked into, now that you have the cube vault, have you looked into, like, those sweet-ass CIA handcuffs that, like, handcuff a briefcase to you?
I haven't yet. I don't want to draw more attention to what's...
Why? That's so stupid. Could you see someone attack
That is not stupid.
Him?
What are they going to do? Like, literally, okay. Like, now, I get the fact that it's going to draw more attention to you, but, like, as long as you have the SVU surrounding you, do you really think they're going to be able to get your arm in your cube vault? No.
It depends on if I'm with the zombies or the...
Zombies would be like, hey man, don't touch
As Slick and Kevy said that they would jump the shit out of anyone that came near me, they might accidentally jump on each other.
Yeah.
And that might not work out so well.
You could get the furry handcuffs, then no one would touch you.
Yeah. They're like, what the hell's he got going on over there?
Just get the pink furry ones. No one will touch you, dude. Trust me.
I will share one story from the guys, Murray and Kenny. They stopped by the SVU HQ on Friday to actually personally deliver me my long-awaited cube vault.
VIP service was that?
I know. When they did, they brought some great goodies to show off to a lot of the guys who were too drunk to enjoy them while we were there. But they also swapped some great stories. They had just done the Gamma game trade show in Las Vegas a few months ago, showing off the product that they had. And Murray had one of the cube vaults in hand, walking through the casino floors with another guy. And unbeknownst to him, he was being followed very closely by casino security because they also wanted to know what was inside the cube vault. Now, apparently he was confronted by a couple of larger security-type gentlemen, and they asked him what was inside. He was very happy to tell them that, you know, it's nothing they have to worry about. It was just some dice. And in Las Vegas, if you tell someone that you have a very important suitcase and it has dice in it, that makes you more of a target because now they think that you're going to try to, game their system. So he had to quickly open it up and explain to them that it was his own dice from the cube vault. And he wasn't trying to, figure out what size
loaded dice
they use inside their casino. So it is. It's good to know that product will already bring attention to you wherever you go when you're holding it. But it keeps your shit safe.
Yeah, it's cool. I could definitely. I mean, I guess I'll find out when I start lugging the giant beast around from place to place to see how difficult it is. Just carrying it though, it's. I could totally see you trying to find a way to put a strap on it. Sling it over my shoulder because goddamn that fucking thing is heavy. I can't even imagine.
Beautiful
it's
box,
gorgeous.
But what it means is the cube has to come to you.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. Matt, I mean,
Maddie, I have some. Now that I'm not playing bass anymore, I have got some awesome guitar straps with strap locks so that it won't come off.
Oh, that would be sweet.
I could totally hook you up with.
That would be cool, man. A heavy metal bass strap for the cube. How cool is that?
Put it over your shoulder. You don't ever have to worry about it coming off because it's made to not come off, even if you throw it around your shoulders, which I hope you wouldn't do with the box full of awesome cards. But it won't ever come off if you're just walking through the fucking casino, event center, wherever you might be. And I can hook you up with that.
I have a feeling the box would break first, but we'll figure it out. Kyle, the Bergie, asks us, best SVU hangover cures other than more beer?
Marcel's cooking.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Strangely enough, grease and water. You should have learned from Michael Motika. He's taught us well.
I'm telling you, dude, fucking rockstar and fried food. I guarantee you, rockstar and fried food, it fucking fixes everything.
I will agree that's
it's like grease and water.
Advil helps water.
But you're getting like your coffee and some vitamins and shit like that at the same time. Like rockstar and greasy food, that will fix it. I guarantee it. It's what I do every other day.
Official heavy metal cure for hangovers right there. Rockstar and shit. Jeremy, the scumbag, Mr. Schofield himself asked, what's a good way to get rid of the cops? Show up to your party. Kevy, I wasn't there for this, so you tell me.
Have Marcel talk to him. Some of us would have went to jail if we had to if they would have made it onto the porch. But absolutely fucking huge debt to Marcel for taking care of that, being absolutely diplomatic. And this is also the guy who was like in the middle of cooking dinner and fucking like just got done fucking, you know, playing magic. And he's just like, hey, I got this, and fucking handled it. And he did a great job. And so, my advice is get Marcel to do it. And if you can't get Marcel to do it, run.
There you go. Jez Golbez? What is those two dots? Golbez? He asked, are you guys planning on coming to GP? Goebbels. There you go. Just like Hitler. Oh, that's horrible. I just said that.
You're terrible. And I'm the one that gets shit on Twitter.
Oh, I gotta get so shit. Are you guys planning to come to GP Vancouver now that it's icky modern? No, I wouldn't go to Vancouver because there's nothing to do there.
Wow. I would go to Vancouver. It's a beautiful city. I would even sit through one of your terrible, Canucks hockey games if I had to.
Oh my God.
Ouch.
I mean, Vancouver's
probably
nice.
I can't see me making that trip.
Yeah, I would say this. Modern's cool. I don't know why you guys are complaining. Modern's nice. But I don't know. Flying across the country just to go to Vancouver is not probably going to work out for me. So sorry, Jez.
My thing, Modern, yes. To me is like, I love Modern and I would love to go to a fucking Modern GP, but I was also stoked to just go to a fucking GP and realize that I played like zero Magic except for the one match that I played with fucking TSG's Cube. So I don't know how much what the format of the GP
format of the modern
I don't know how much the format of the GP is really going to matter to me, but I'm trying to, like, as I've had a couple days to try to just realize what happened in Portland, I've also realized, like, at first, literally when I was leaving on the plane, I was like, I might quit Magic. I don't want to ever have anything to do with this again. And then I was just like, all right, I calmed down. This was a lot of fun. I just maybe went the wrong direction with it.
All right, so here's a question
I want to GP to go fucking play actual Magic sometime.
Okay, so here, this question is perfect. So, at Heavy Goyle, ask Kevy, can you actually come to a GP and not drink?
Nah, I doubt it.
So what if we made a bet? Like, Kevy, you get $1,000 if you can go the whole weekend without drinking.
Yeah, I could probably do it. Like, if I had an incentive to do it,
fuck that. Funding Jay Bush for the next one.
But then you guys have to deal with that. You're like, oh, okay, there's Kevy Metal sober for 4 fucking days. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be fucking so twacked out on rock stars that I might as well be a cokehead for the entire weekend. And, like, which one's better? Take the lesser.
Are you trying to threaten us with heavier drugs?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, if you guys, if you don't let me drink, I'll just move on to better stuff.
Yeah, I'll just be a cokehead for the weekend. There you go.
Oh my goodness. Well, sorry, Heavy Goyle. This Latina woman can't answer your question correctly. I think you'd be fine. I think you could do that.
No, I think you'd be fine. I'd actually really like to do it. I just, you know, I had a bit of fun.
Yeah, you did. KYT's evil twin asks us, if you can fight anyone from history, who would you fight? Well, JR would probably fight us first.
Well, one, he's a time elemental, and two, like, history, that's just like everything before today, right? So, probably JR.
Oh, man, JR is the time elemental. You know what, JR won't let us fight anyone from history, because he'll fight them first. He just fight everybody. He's fighting. He's going to fight everybody and grab their wieners. Let's see what else we got in the queue here, folks. All right, so how did we not manage to get our, the cops called on us a second time? I think this was... I don't know.
I think the neighbors gave up at that
point. Yeah, I think they did. I think they went out. The second night we were there...
You guys didn't get the death stares that I got the next morning. Oh, no.
They were having a garage sale the next morning, and we kept talking about buying golf clubs from them.
Yeah, that, we walked down the morning, and that was pretty dirty.
Some pretty big daggers coming my way. I think the irony is the night the cops got called, like, you know, Maddie and myself and a few select others had snuck away what felt like moments before it actually happened. So I guess it was lucky that we didn't add to the fuel to the fire by, you know, another seven guys just kind of sneaking off into the night to go draft. And then, you know, within 45 minutes later, we're getting stories of a lot of very quiet people at the children's house that can't do anything for a little while until the heat blows over.
Yeah.
Mr. Man, Luke, the Nary Man, asks us, why did you buy a TFT's box? The question is, as you know, I've been trying to build a cube for a long time now, but I guess you know what it is? It's like you have a shitty cardboard box that you don't care. You know, it's just a frickin'... I didn't care. Now I care. So,
there's that, and it's like just pimping out your shit, man. I like my cube, and I'm proud of my cube, and it's not nearly as fucking cool as TSG's cube by, like, any stretch of the imagination, but, like, I like what I've put into that cube, and I like, you know, the proxies that I have in that cube are there for a reason, and I like them. The reason is because I couldn't afford the real one. But, I like what I've done with my cube. And so you kind of take something like that and you're like, do I want to stick this in a fucking shitbag cardboard box? Or do I want to make some little fucking case out of it that I could break it out of? Like something nice, you know? And that's part of it. That's why I would have bought his fucking box, but I didn't because Maddie bought it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I bought the box. I would say it was handed down to me nicely.
Are you insinuating hand jobs here?
No. Well, it would be me giving him to him. It wouldn't be the other way around.
Are you insinuating it was kind of handed down to me? Like,
oh no, you know. No. I am not. He was very nice to, timing worked out. And I mean, he chose me. Like you said, he could have sold it for a lot more money.
Someone got a very nice price at a very opportune time because it was time to move on and I didn't want to have to jam it back in my luggage with everything else.
Hey, I'm happy. I snapped at it when he's like, well, what do I do? I'll take it. Like, hey, man, if there's an offer, I'm
snagging. Please, it was, I'll take it, but not for that much.
Well, yeah, it was, it's expensive, dude. It's a box, you know. It's a nice box.
It's fucking mahogany, man.
I feel like I fucked up and I didn't get you to sign the bottom or something, you know. So we'll have to rectify that.
Do you have any actual proof? If anybody ever
no, I don't care if there's proof. Just for the fact that it's kind of neat that.
All right, I've got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Individually, what is your favorite story or experience from the SVU HQ weekend?
Ooh.
Can Kevy remember any stories?
I mean, Kevy's is going to be like one of three options. I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably.
I know one option. It won't be.
Yeah, a couple of you know one option that it won't be.
All right, go.
No, I don't know. Like, there was, aside from the fucking ridiculous craziness, there was, I guess, you know, the encompassing all, like, it just, whether I was too drunk to pay attention or whether I wasn't, like, the getting to fucking spend the time, like, actually spend the time with some of these people, some of you guys, and some of these people that listen to our cast, like, was fucking amazing to me. Like, getting to know them as people, you know, Maddie, of course, we've met before. I had never met TSG before, you know, but, like, getting to see you again and hang out, and then getting to meet TSG, getting to meet fucking Jay Boosh, getting to meet some of these other people in the community that were just, like, you get the Twitter personality, but you don't get the whole fucking personality until you're there in person, which I'm sure you guys can attest to a little bit for me too. But, there was little shit, like, you know, fucking a huge fucking shout out to like fucking Tommy T-Moles, you know, I got there and he's just, oh, Kevy, I got this for you. And he fucking just pulls out the fucking Dark Confidant playmat for me. And he's like, there you go. He's like, I got this for you from Boston. And I was like, dude, you're wow. fucking amazing. You know, like, thank you so much. And I get fucking, like, JR. Like, one of the few moments that JR was somewhat sober through the weekend. JR's pulled me aside and he's just like, here, man, I got some stuff for you. Like, for your fucking, your Wizard's Den. You know, here
your
you go.
Your Wizard's Den.
And so, you know, and he gives me, like, he gave me, like, a fucking Judge Foil Incinerate. He's like, I feel like you need to have this. And I was
nice.
Thanks. That's going to go in my fucking cube. And he's like, now check this out. And it was like the coolest fucking thing is this order form. He's just like, okay, now the story behind this is like, apparently you used to be able to order opium and cocaine from the government, you know, hundred years ago, right? you used to be able to order opium and cocaine from the government before there was things like a fucking, you know,
laws,
a narcotics list, but it's literally like, it's a page. And it is a fucking a government order form. And, like, you hold it up to the light. There's a watermark and everything. Like, a government order form for opium. And he's just, I figured you would enjoy this. And I was like, that's fucking hilarious, man. That's awesome. And, like, that's something that's going to be framed. And it's going to be in my fucking Wizard's Den. And then I had, like, Grumpy Travis came
Grumpy
up to me.
Grumpy Travis.
That motherfucker is awesome, dude, by the way.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious, cracks me the fuck up, and then he will just turn on a dime and be like, listen, motherfucker, everybody needs to chill the fuck out. Okay? Good? Everybody's fine? All right, good. Now we can go back to having a good time. But, so he hits me up, and, like, he hooked me up with fucking some very, very choice cards that I need for my modern deck, and some that I don't necessarily need but really wanted, like a fucking, like one of the promo bolts, like fucking, he's just like, hey, man, you guys do this thing every fucking week, and I appreciate you. And I was like, dude, I can't fucking take this. He's like, just shut the fuck up. Seriously, shut the fuck up, take it. I was like, all right, well, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you because you're taller than I am, and you're bigger than I am, and, you know, you're giving me something that I obviously really wanted. And, like, it's things like that. Like, it's people that come up to you that are just like, I appreciate what you do, and I – like, it's awesome to meet you. And I'm like, man, I'm not anything that cool. Like, I am the guy that shows up drunk for the weekend and causes more problems than I solve. And yet, like, I have people that still, like, we have people that, like, the SVU, we have people that just want to help. They want to give. They want to do fuck things like that. And just to see shit like that just blew me away yet again. I know I've gone on many drunken rants about how amazing the SVU is. And it's just like, man, you guys, like, I haven't done anything for you. And here you are, like, handing me something because you know it's something that I would enjoy. And I appreciate that. And I want to try to keep doing things for you guys. And so it was like, it maybe not one individual moment, but, like, those moments, and not just, like, people giving me things, but people sitting me down and telling me, like, look, man, I appreciate what you do. These are my thoughts. And having real conversations with them, be like, hey, man, I appreciate what you have to say. I appreciate that, like, you have a valid opinion about, like, what we do with the podcast. Like, not like, oh, hey, that sucked. You guys shouldn't have done that, but you should have done this. But, like, sitting down and give me, like, real fucking advice on the way we should do things.
Yeah, totally.
And, I don't know. It's like, or not should do things. I'm sorry. It's probably the wrong term for it. But, like, their thoughts on things and, like, their thoughts on what we do and what they think of this Magic community and, like, who we all are and this whole SVU thing. Like, yeah, again, some of us got a little out of hand, some of us were normal people for the weekend, but, like, my favorite event or my favorite moment of the fucking weekend was everybody there all together and just dealing with it. The fact that you fucking two dealt with me for the whole weekend.
God knows, man. I mean, for me, meeting, like, Paul Draconian B on Twitter from New Zealand, like, wow.
Oh, my
that
God.
That guy is
amazing.
Oh, I love him. Like, it's, you know, when you meet people, like, I meet Kevin, and, like, oh, man, this guy, like, is, like, my brother. I felt like that. Like, that guy just instantly, I'm like, oh, my God, I could just talk. I could sit down. I could talk to this guy for, like, 20 hours, have dinner. I could play Magic with him. Like, fucking awesome guy. And just, like, what a trooper,
but
man.
Actually, what really surprised me about him, too, is, like, he's fairly quiet on Twitter. He doesn't talk a whole lot.
He doesn't.
He talked a lot more in person, but he's, like, he's so rich of a character. He's so much
– he is.
So interesting of a person. Like, You know, he's just like everything he has to say, like his accent, like his fucking, you know, his down under accent is fucking amazing anyway. And then like he's such an interesting person, whether it be because you're standing around the fucking table bullshitting and drinking at fucking 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or because we're sitting there playing werewolf at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's the one that's fucking standing up in the middle of the group of people explaining to everybody why this is happening and why we should be doing this. And hey, maybe we should elect the mayor. And like, it's like the guy's got so many like outlets to his character that he just amazed me.
Yeah. He was amazing. I mean, the people, like Kevin said, that's probably the reason, mm-hmm. you know, those are the things. Playing TSG's Cube, of course, was just for me personally, it's a selfish thing, but that was one of the highlights for me. That was just fun. I like doing that. I could have just played that straight for 4 days. Like, that was fun as hell.
Now, just, to be fair, TSG, I would have loved to play your cube more. I really enjoyed the drafting process and actually drafting your cube. I was just a little too far gone when we started to.
I understand. I understand. You just never got back out of that hole that you were in.
We need to do this again sometime when I'm not that drunk.
Yeah, well, you tell us how that happens, because we can't figure out how to turn the tap off.
We definitely had that conversation without you, Kevy.
How do we hang out with Kevy while he's not hammered?
Yeah, we did. We had that exact conversation.
I just told you. I'll just do the cocaine thing for the
whole. Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't consider that really a compromise.
No, I seriously, like, in all honesty, like, after the week, it was a lot of fun. Like, we had our fun in Vegas. And then we had our fun in Portland, which was just like, I don't know, fun caked on top of fun. And I'm using fun in air quotes because you can't see me. But I feel like now I've done that. I've had some fun with the SVU. Now I actually would like to go play with you guys and actually have some fun playing Magic, not have fun getting wrecked with everybody for the whole weekend. And be like, oh, I'm supposed to be Kevy Metal, so I'm supposed to be drunk. And just like, pushing that further and further and further, and be like, all right, well, I guess I'll just get more drunk because fuck it, why not?
So, oh my goodness,
I'd like to actually go fucking, like, I'd like to actually play Cube with you guys and be sober for most of it. I'd like to actually go maybe join a main event. That'd be fun. I'd like to do a lot of that shit.
Wait, just do it. As Nike says, just do it, bro. Now. Sun Zhu, or Sun Zhu of MTG, asks us, after doing the show for so long, what is the most important thing you've learned about podcasting? Wow. I don't know if that's a loaded question we should take this late in the evening, but we're going to try for it.
Consistency.
Yeah, that's true. Very true, right there. TSG is perfect to be on, too. Yeah.
Those that get there to even be able to do the best work they could possibly do are the guys that get it done every week. I don't care if you're Matty and the lower half of your body is exploding and you're in a hospital, or if you're Kevy and you're too busy at work or trying to sober up. It's the fact that you guys can get in there and consistently produce content that people want to listen to. And yeah, you're going to have your lows, but you're going to make more highs because you're practicing and getting it in there all the time. Though that is the best thing you can do for a podcast.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. I think the thing that, you know, that I have learned, is timing. I think that's a big thing that a lot of people, don't do. And it's not timing and necessarily of, hey, this event broke. Is your podcast come out on this date to get to break the news? It's timing in terms of understanding that everyone is talking about X. You should talk about Y, because there's no point in doing everything the same all the other casts are doing. It's boring. And so a lot of times people will say, wow, like, you guys missed this big event, or why didn't you talk about this? Well, it's because I believe that topic is dead. So I think that's something I've learned. I've also learned that you have to do things the way you see them, and you have to do them to the quality level that you feel it's just. You can't just whip shit off. You can't just expect everyone else to pick up the slack either. You know, it's a team. But everyone has to bring their A game. So I think that's something I've learned too. And I mean, we're only at 90, 91, whatever the fuck this is. We're not, I mean,
I think this is 90.
Is it 90 or 91?
90. Yeah.
Okay, so, like, the A-Team's 100 episodes ahead of us, and, you know, regardless of you compare them to us or not, I don't give a shit. The truth is, they're 100 episodes ahead of us. I don't know, like, that's, I mean, shit, if we hit 100, that's a milestone that I'm impressed with. Not that I didn't think we could do it, just, it's grueling.
I didn't see it happening.
Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, no, in the beginning, did you really see us hitting 100 episodes or getting close to 100 episodes? I can't really say that yet.
No, probably
because,
not. Probably not.
You know, because we haven't made it. Like, who knows what is going to happen in the next episode? No. But
I think a lot of people miss. I guess they underestimate the grueling nature of it. To be on every week, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot. But then you try to do it, and it is grueling. I think that's really, it's about pacing, it's about timing, and really it's about.
I think that it comes down to, like, basically, like, chemistry is a huge fucking thing too.
Sure.
Is, you know, I hear podcasts out there that they're great people on them and it doesn't quite work. And I hear people that, like, they're not great people, but, like, it works, like, because they're, like, the chemistry's there. Like, chemistry is a huge fucking thing. I mean, you can say, hey, let's start a podcast to somebody else and try to start a podcast. And, like, they're, you know, to be somewhat successful with it, I guess, you have to, like, there has to be something there, you know, like, you're better off, like, if you're out there wanting to start a podcast, you're better off, like, trying it out with a couple different, like, friends and being like, hey, let's see if we get along, like, if we have a rapport, if we can do this, you know, like, Maddie and I just accidentally had this balance, like, that, you know, when we started this, Maddie was just like, we gotta start a podcast, like, I don't know how to do that, and I don't have the time for that shit, and it just worked, because Maddie keeps shit on track, and I'm an asshole. So, yeah, like, it works, it's a great balance, you know, and then those,
I love it, he's like, I'm an asshole, and this guy does all the work, it's a great balance for me.
Yeah, great balance. But really, like, it comes down to the fact that, like, you know, there is that balance between the two of us that, like, we, you know, there have been those few times where we've had to, like, not have one of us on the cast and still do it. And it's a completely different experience. You know, when I've had to cast without Maddie, when Maddie was dying from river spiders and I had to cast without Maddie, I was like a fucking paranoid ball of nerves because I was like, who's going to bail me out of this shit? Like, when I start talking because I'm drunk and just, like, word vomit is coming out of me, like, who's going to be like, so, you know, there's a modern pro tour now again. Like, let's get into something else and guide us off, like, back onto the track, you know? And, like, there's a chemistry there that seemed to work for us. And I think that's a huge fucking thing that you have for a podcast, because if you don't have any chemistry and it's just a couple guys sitting around talking about magic, I mean, it's literally that. It's a couple guys sitting around talking about magic. There's got to be some chemistry with your co-host. But the other thing is, like TSG said, like, I think the biggest thing that you have to go back to is consistency. It's,
yeah. I think I spoke to Travis at length about a very interesting subject, which was walls. And I think another thing walls,
this creature has defenders?
No. Not magic walls. In terms of walls between the show and the audience. And I think one thing that we really try to do is always, there is no walls. Like, and I know a lot of casts.
Hey, I learned that in Portland. There are no walls whatsoever. And maybe
sometimes, so maybe I'm recounting this. Sometimes there should
sometimes
be walls, Kevin.
Walls.
The walls aren't all bad. But in terms of podcasting, I mean, I think, you know, making sure that the audience is let in, that there's, it really feels like it's not a show talking down to you, because it really isn't. Like, we really do try very hard, and community building. I think that's probably the thing that we did by accident, that we didn't realize was probably the most crucial thing we do, just because we so wanted to be part of the community.
Well, kids, yeah, exactly. And I think that's where it comes from. Is like, I think that SVU community building side, like, that we got into, like, I mean, again, I've said this before, but, like, the SVU did this shit all on their own. Like, they took this to a completely different level. But, like, we started off, like, wanting to involve the community and wanting you guys to be a part of this because, I mean, shit, that's what Maddie and I wanted to do. Like, we're like, hey, these guys are cool. I like these people in the community and we want to kind of be a part of that. Let's do something. And we just took that and went like, hey, you guys, you know, have just as much of a say as we do. Like, you know, yeah, we're on a podcast, big fucking deal. Like, you guys have just as much of a say. And I learned that from people in Portland, like people that have their fucking opinions and ideas. I took those to heart. I was just like, you know, they talk about our podcast and like the pluses and the minuses and shit like that. And they're like, and I took that shit to heart. I'm like, wow, you know, you have a very valid point there. It's like, we're not like, oh, big deal. We're on the cast. We're not more important than you. Like, you guys are actually more important than us because you are the ones that fucking listen. You guys are the ones that come up with a lot of these ideas. So.
Yeah. Last question. Kenny Ignacio asks us favorite fish taco. Token.
Token.
apparently, to give you backstory before we answer this question, I don't even know who it was. Who the hell showed up? But someone showed up with a binder.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, Christian. Dirty, dirty artwork. Dirty, filthy card altars. I'm not going to say what artist did them, but my God. Wow. There were so many fish tacos. It was hilarious.
I had no idea that this was a thing.
I didn't even know it was a thing. I thought it was dicks.
I thought
we're
it
in
was
the wrong
hilarious.
Thing.
We're into the wrong thing.
Yeah. It was hilarious, though. Hilarious stuff. I think the favorite one I saw was the Liliana one. I thought that was quite hilarious. Or it was the, what's the vampire chick with the wiener?
Oh, Olivia.
Olivia Valderan. That was funny. There's a very funny alter. I'm sure you at home can imagine what that looks like. It's quite humorous. But yeah, that's coming on the end of the show for this week.
So that was Portland.
That was Portland. Yeah. It's,
Tristan, any closing thoughts?
I've got to thank everybody that I met out there that was so excited to meet me, because that is still just such a weird anomaly that people give a shit who I am at all. And I mean, not only from No Shoes McGee on Thursday night, who his friend had to explain he was a really big fan and wanted to come hang out, to KYT's teammate Travis, who confessed his weird man love, and everybody in between who I got to meet. Finally meet Luke, who keeps better track of my cube than I do. It's so great to interact with everybody out there and share the common bond that is the love of this game. And I want to thank every single person that I met that bought me a slice of pizza, handed me a beer, let me crash in their room, picked me up from the airport, dropped me off, everybody in between. Thank you guys so much. And I can't believe that the things that myself or the guys I have the pleasure of sharing this podcast with can bring you guys enough to want to reciprocate in such an amazing over-the-top way. And it makes me want to raise the level of what I continue to bring to this extreme hobby of mine. And as much as it's not my job, it's, in the top eight things I love on the planet. Don't let my wife hear that. So for me, again, a huge shout out. Thank you to everybody. I could kill the next half hour while these guys listen to me name names, but it has really given me a resurgence to want to do more, find another outlet with which to do more, try to find a way to make time to do more, and want to help to organize the next time that a gang gets together, do it bigger, better, more organized, and help that everybody gets something out of it between those that would drink for 12 hours and those that would cube for 12 hours. Let's do it up bigger and better next time. And let's all have a great time.
100% agreed with that, man.
Yeah,
I noticed how he didn't put my name in there. He's not happy to see me at all, eh? Okay.
Well, Julie noted. Patty was like along for the ride just like myself. The only difference was he had a nice posh hotel room to go back to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, hey, man, some people plan, some people don't.
Hey, by the way, like, Maddie, you've been putting these fucking SVU HQ tips up all fucking day, and I don't know what number you made it to, but I'm going to just say, like, you know, SVU HQ tip 9.
No, number 7. Oh.
Oh, we're at 7? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, do what Maddie does. Get your own fucking hotel room so that you can leave the insanity at some point. hey, you're still welcome to stay in one of the, like, you could stay in the children's house on the fucking floor. Who gives a shit? But if you really want to get the, like, get the fuck away from this insanity sometimes, then, like, get your own hotel room. It's probably the smartest thing to do.
I will say this. This isn't my first rodeo. I'm experienced veteran of things of this nature through various things in my career and life. So I know what to do. So I get hotel rooms for reasons. Reasons of like Kevy said, shit goes crazy. I have a place to sleep. Cops show up. I'm not kicked out. You know, I can bail and I can get back to my own little mini HQ. And also it's nice to just be able to sleep without people screaming and drawing dicks on your forehead. So.
Oh, dude, there's dicks on foreheads. There's dicks on. Oh, man.
That was the one thing that is just a tip for those people. If you come to Portland, bring soap and heavy scrub. Something that scrubs permanent marker off because
the weird thing was that it was consistent as to who were the guys who were always passing out first. Like, you think.
No shit. Yeah.
Well, you think they would learn, eh, after the first night?
Forehead full of dicks would be like, he would be not the guy to pass out first the next night. But you'd be wrong. Those guys were consistent in their efforts.
Well, Tyler Durden doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's
no,
fucking
I'm
Tyler
thinking
Durden.
More like on the lines of Jackie. Like, Jackie, like, chased us up to the...
Jackie.
He chased us back to the adult house to draft us one night, and 30 seconds in the door, he was passed out in a chair.
Well, we almost had a couple of limes that would have solved the snoring situation. Okay, I love how Kevy Light does no clue.
No. I will say, for everything you have heard tonight, everything that you may hear on other podcasts adjacent to this one, it is but the tip of the iceberg of everything that happened there for you to see, smell, taste, hear, and whatever other way you want to ingest it. So I recommend, highly, highly recommend not missing the next one of these, whether it is inside of a giant Grand Prix hall, if it's at a tiny little beach house on the coast where people can get drunk in the sand and puke there, wherever it ends up being, highly recommend that you, the listener, whoever you are, people I've met, people I haven't met, you get out to that event because it'll be a great time. You'll cube with me. You'll drink with Kevy. You may or may not eat Marcel's meat. I don't know what Maddie does, but he'll contribute somehow. It'll be a good time.
I contribute somehow. Nice.
Oh my god. Can't get, like, his last speech and this speech just fucking trumped the episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful.
You guys always save the best shit for the end, man. I'm gonna just start fast forwarding to, like, the hour mark.
It's true. Well, you're not wrong. So is Kevy, play us out with a tune that is worthy of Portland.
I don't know, man. The only thing you could say at this point is just, like, go hug yourself, Portland. Like, I can't even yell it. Just that was a beautiful time. But, like, if you're not Portland, go fuck yourself, San Diego!